to get in here and help us out. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read just a couple places. We're going to read in the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. And we're going to turn over and read in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter after that. But let's go to Romans right now. Romans, the 7th chapter. We're going to start at verse number 14. I'm going to give you all a few minutes to get there. Amen. Hallelujah. Cover your prayers this morning. Romans 7, verse number 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Amen. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. Very familiar today. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Amen. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. As I was reading these two passages of scriptures from the Apostle Paul, you know, I begin to think about him for just a moment. And, you know, the apostle here and in Romans here, he is personifying the strife of the two natures in a believer. He is struggling. He's showing the old Adam nature that's inside of him and also that divine nature that he received through the new birth. The I, which is the Saul of Tarsus, and the I, which is Paul, the apostle, are at strife. Paul is being defeated, though, it seems like, in these scriptures. But I like it when we go on down into the 8th chapter, and he begins to say, with the help of the Lord, that therefore there is now no condemnation. Amen. For there is therefore now no condemnation when Paul becomes victorious. Now I understand when I read here in this passage in Corinthians that Paul is trying to explain to us of his inadequacy, trying to fathom what life was going to be like in heaven. And he was trying to look upon things that it was going to be and what he was going to become. And he felt inadequate. I realize that. I realize what that's saying. But another thing I felt like as I read these scriptures, and I need God to help me here. As I read these scriptures, I begin to look at a person, an individual, that's trying to come to grips with who he is and what he will be. And what needs to transpire and what needs to happen for all these changes to take place. And as I begin to think about that, you know, oftentimes when we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of a person who is well-learned, he is proper, and this is coming from his own testimony, how he testified about how he was brought up underneath the teaching of Gamaliel and how that he was a Pharisee's Pharisee. I mean, Paul wasn't an idiot. Paul wasn't, you know, just some wacko on the street. Paul was educated. Paul came from a proper family because didn't just anybody send their kids to Gamaliel. I mean, he come from a prominent family. I mean, when we look at the Apostle Paul as his life when he was Saul, it seemed like he had everything. He had prominent position in the church. He had prominent position in the world, in the system. Amen. He was over prisoners and over their enslavement, and He was over their execution. I mean, when we look at Him, we begin to see a man that we think has it all together. I mean, He knew exactly where He was going in life. I mean, He knew exactly what He was going to become. He knew exactly what His goals for the future was. I mean, He just didn't live life haphazardly every day and just wait for something to fall in His lap, Brother Chuck. But Saul had a plan. Saul had a plan for his life. Saul had goals for his life. Saul lived his life every day achieving those goals. Amen. But one day, suddenly, amen, his journey was interrupted on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says that a great light shone round about him brighter than the noonday sun. And then all of a sudden, this man named Saul, that had it all together, that had it all figured out, began to hear from the Lord on high. And He began to tell him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In other words, you think you're doing my work. You think you've got it all figured out, but you're going in the wrong direction. I want you to turn around. What we are seeing in these scriptures is we're seeing a man that now must come to grips with a new identity. He said, "Those things that I would do, I don't do them anymore. Those places that I would go, I don't go there anymore. But now there's new places that I want to go to. But yet I find myself struggling to get there. There's new people I want to hang around with. But I find myself struggling with trying to hang around them." We are looking at a man that's trying to find his identity in this life. Paul said, "When I was a child," that word literally means there, a baby. When I was an infant, it refers to the first periods of his existence, his childhood, his youth. He said, "I spake as a child." He said, "You know, I could only speak scarcely and not very intelligibly." It's when he first began to learn how to articulate, how to talk, how to form sentences. He said, "Not only did I speak like a child, but I understood like a child. My understanding was feeble, it was imperfect. My views was narrow." Oh God. "I knew very little." Amen. "And I fixed my attention on objects which I now see to be of little value, but at one time they looked so great to me. But now I find that they're of little value. One man said, 'I was afflicted as a child. I was thrown into a transport of joy or grief on the slightest occasion, which manly reason taught me rather to despise.'" Paul said, "I thought like a child. I argued like a child. I reasoned like a child. My thoughts and my plans were such that now I see that they were short-sighted. I do not know what I may appear to be in this world because I did not understand what I was." They say just before his death that Sir Isaac Newton made this statement: "I do not know what I may appear to the world, but to myself I seem to have been only like a boy, playing on the seashore and diverting myself by now and then finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary, while the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me." Is that just like how a child looks at it? Take them to that ocean, they ain't worried about the vastness of the sea and all the possibilities. They're worried about that little seashell they can find on the beach. Paul said, "That's how I was." He said, "But there was a day when I became a man and I put away childish things." Paul is standing and looking at his life, and he realizes there's been a change. And now he's looking back at where he was and ahead to where he's traveling. And he begins his struggle to become what God wants him to be. I believe there's some young folks in this building tonight. I told Brother Noah last night, I said, "It's amazing. We've been at this. This is our fifth year." I said, "Some of these kids have so grown up. seemed like just yesterday they was running around at the little craft table. Amen. Now today there you've got spouses. I wonder if they ever just looked back at life for a moment of where they came from and looked ahead of where they're going and wonder how this transformation is going to take place. The Lord helps me for just a moment. I want to preach on identity crisis. Identity crisis. Identity means sameness or essential character, unity and persistence of personality. The character is simply the peculiar qualities impressed by nature or habit on a person, which distinguish him from others. Amen. A crisis means to separate, to determine, to decide. A crisis is that decisive state of things or the period of time when an event or situation arrives to its height and must soon terminate or suffer a material change. Paul realized on the road to Damascus that I have gone as far as I can go in this flesh and I need something more. But what am I going to be? What is that something more? Where am I going to go from here? What am I going to become from here? I was a child. I've left the valley of childhood. I've left all those things that are empty and void and just what child play do. But now I'm facing life as a man and I need help to decide what am I going to be? You know, I got to do some studying and psychologists say that an identity crisis usually strikes an individual around the teenage years. I hope you stay with me here. And if that struggle goes unresolved, it carries into the adult years and that individual is never secure in life. That individual never settles into their station or calling in life. And whether you realize it or not, young folks and older folks alike, we have all been in identity crises, Brother Mike. We all have come to the place where we have asked ourselves, who am I? What is my purpose in this life? Where do I fit in? What am I to become? Questions like these always cause us to slow down in our spiritual growth. And when we begin to slow down in that spiritual process, we begin to quit going forward. And we all know that the Satan is out to try to destroy us and out to try to stop us. And I believe God dealt with my heart about this message. There's many ways that He accomplishes this. There's many ways He pulls at us. But I feel like in the generation and in the church age we're living in right now that the devil is trying his best to confuse our young people, to confuse our churches. Amen. To try to steal their identity. To try to get them to question, what am I really? What am I really going to become? What's this God really all about? Do I really need to live this way? Do I really need to look like this? Do I really need to act like this? I mean, what's it all about? Maybe I have been brainwashed. Maybe I have been made to live this way. Oh, my friend, I feel like some of us in this building this morning is in the middle of an identity crisis. God's going to have to come by here and break this thing. Identity crisis. When a person loses touch. Somebody said, this is silly, preacher. This is crazy. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you where a lot of our battles are right now is right here. And these are the types of things, believe it or not, people don't like to admit it, Brother Tim. But these are the types of things that men and young people sit on their couch and rub their head about. These are the kinds of things that throws us into anxiety attacks, causes men's hearts to fail them. What am I? What in the world do I need to be doing? Where do I need to go? Where do I need to come in this life? I don't know. Who am I really?
What is this Christian life? What is the world like? There's some of you this week, you're in the middle of that very struggle. Do I really need to be here? Is God really real? Is this Holy Ghost just an emotion? Does it really live deep inside of me? Oh, great God. I said the devil is trying his best to destroy your identity. He don't want you to realize what you are, who you are, where you're going, who's leading you. We're in the middle of an identity crisis.
I guarantee you, if you could get them to talk honest to you, not lie. That homosexual. Before they delve into that, they have an identity crisis. It might be a little plain, but this is how it is. Am I a man or am I a woman? I know what boys are supposed to do. I don't feel like doing them. Does that make me, am I different? Am I really like this? Come on here now. I know this is a little different. I'm right on the front page of the Hallelujah Herald. Amen. Are you hearing me? That's where it all starts. If Satan can get you off to yourself and he begin to put thoughts in your mind and getting you to start questioning who you are and what you're doing, oh, come on here now. That's why we got so many of our young people running to the world. They didn't start out with a desire for the world. They didn't start out to want to backslide. But little by little, the devil began to pounce on them. And we stood around with our hands in our pockets. Come on here now. And they're right in the middle of a struggle. They're trying to figure this life out. Hey, Daddy, your boy ain't been down that road yet. Won't you remember what it was like when you was at that road? I said they're trying to figure what they're going to do with their life. They're trying to figure what they're going to do from here. They're in the middle of a crisis.
What causes that individual to put that gun barrel up to their head, pull the trigger? Well, they're psyched out, they're crazy, they're loony. Well, say what you want, but the fact of the matter is, they lost grip of reality of who they were. There ain't nothing no more miserable, ain't nothing no more worse in this life than a person that drives the finest automobiles, lives in the biggest house, and ain't happy with nothing. Nothing pleases them. I tell you what's the matter with that individual. They don't know what they want in this life. They don't know what they want in this life. They have no direction. They don't know where they're going. But my Bible teaches me that a child of God has direction. I said a child of God has direction. I said a child of God knows where he's going. A child of God knows where he came from. A child of God knows who brought him out. Were you hearing me? They said it last night. A good man's steps is ordered by the Lord.
A person that knows who they are, even in a prison house, can write half of the New Testament. Oh, you're looking at me. Huh? Identity crisis. We got some young boys, some young girls. We ain't got some mommies and daddies here in this building today. You've been wondering about yourself here lately. Oh, God. You've been wondering about yourself here lately. I've lived this way for 20 years. What if I'm wrong? Bruno talking about grandmas that wouldn't have nothing to do with the world, but they shove it to their grandchildren. What happened? They had an identity crisis. They forgot who they were. Come on here now.
The Apostle Paul is sitting down. If I can just improvise here a little bit, use my imagination. He's sitting at his desk. He's got his pen in his hand. He's got the paper in front of him. And he begins to go over the struggle. I know what I was. I know where I was at. I know what I was doing. But after that light, somehow, I feel like I need to make a change here. He's making the escape from childhood into adulthood, if you will. And I know I'm just kind of scooting out these little fellas today. I want to talk to some of you older teens and some of you 20-somethings in this building this morning. You need to beware of those questions that's coming in your mind. Amen. Because in just a few moments of time, the devil can get you so twisted up that you'll forget who you are and what you are. I've talked to some families with some people that had Alzheimer's disease. And they tell me the hardest thing to do is to watch that person begin to lose their identity. God. They lose sight of who they are. They forget where they're at and who's around them. They forgot about their husband that they've married to for 50 years. They forget about them children that they pushed all through grade school and high school. They forget about mothers and fathers. And even those special relationships. If you ever been around one, they just kind of look at you. It's like somebody's there, but it just ain't clicking in their head what's going on. That stare of, who are you? There's a distant voice in my memory. I recognize that voice, but I just don't know who it is. Who are you? Why are you here? What's your name? I think it'd be a sad thing if I ever walked into my folks' home and my dad look at me and say, who are you? What are you doing here? What's your name? Where in the world did you come from? Who's your parents? They lose their identity. They lose that distinctiveness about them that sets them aside from everybody else. They was once jovial and joking and laughing, the life of the party. Now they sit there like an android. They've lost touch with who they are. Last night I seen the Holy Ghost come in this house. And there's some of you young people sit here. And as He passed by your way, you said, who are you? Who are you? What's your name? Where'd you come from? Who sent you? What are you doing here? Why do you want to talk to me that way? There's somebody here. You're on the verge of losing your identity. You're wrestling. And you're fighting. God's trying to talk to you. There ain't nothing no worse in this life than a child of God that loses their sense of direction and loses where they're going and who they are. That's when we begin to get in trouble. That's when we begin to lose out with God. When even the Holy Ghost can speak and it doesn't prick your heart anymore. When the anointed singing can go on. When John's a preaching. When the Holy Ghost is a moving. And all the time you're sitting in our pews and you're saying, why am I here? Like the preacher preached last night. What's this all about? I'm telling you, if I ever felt, I know this is different. I know this is coming across different. It's even different than I thought it was going to be. But I tell you what, I want you to do more than shout this week. God, I want you to do more than to get goosebumps on the back of your neck. There's some of you, you're in dire need.
You need more than a shout. You need more than a feel good. You need a change. You need to remember. I said you need to remember who you are.
You need to remember who you are. We are not our own, but we, Brother Jason, have been bought with a price. I obey the Lord here. I got some stuff here, but I told Brother Noah last night, I said, I know exactly how you feel. I've had to fight the powers of hell the last few weeks trying to get a hold of God for this meeting. I'd sit there, Brother Mike, with my Bible open, praying on my knees, calling out to God. And it seems like there's just a wall there. I couldn't even hardly get a thought. I said, my God, you got to help me. We're dealing with some kids. If they don't get help this year, they're not coming back. Are you hearing me? They're not going back to the home churches. They're not going to be hanging in there very long because they're allowing the enemy and the powers of this world to snuff them and drag them out. But my friend, I want to try to say one more thing to try to check your soul before you check out. You better remember who you are. You better remember that precious blood that bought you.
I wish we was dealing with young people that we had problems with just about their slits. I wish that's all it was. I mean, you got young boys, I expect you to have to keep a hand on them because they just got them minds about them. And I wonder. That's how boys are. I wish that's all we was dealing with. That's it. This youth camp would be a breeze. What Brother Noah preached last night would have took care of every bit of it. Oh, but the river runs more deeper than that. I don't want to talk about your slit. I want to talk about why you think you can have it. I don't want to dwell upon your worldly activities. I want to dwell upon why is the world in your heart. I want to ask you, don't you know who you are? Have you forgotten who you are? Huh? Have you forgotten who you are? Identity crisis. I'm going to say something here. I felt like the Lord dealt with me in prayer. For years now, we've been beating up the Church of God. We get up in our pulpits and tell about how, what was it, 1958? They voted in about the wedding bans. And ever since then, it just went all down. We like to get up and tell about that. But let me tell you something. It's coming to the Holiness Church. I said, you mark it down. It's coming to the Holiness Church. We're letting little things, little by little, creep right in here, taking our identity away from us. Oh, help me now. Come on here now. I said, it's coming to the Holiness Church. They got up and told us up home about how now, what is it, the Church of Christ, Lutherans, I can't remember who it was, are now openly accepting homosexuality. You mark it down. God don't move. We're going to hear about a Holiness Church. It's already playing with some of your children and you're ignoring it. That's how the Church of God fell. What was Eli's problem?
It wasn't that Eli went out and laid with women and desecrated the temple. No, it's because when his boys did it, he went like this. I see nothing. I know nothing. I hear nothing. Everything looks fine. Everybody looks good. My, what a meeting we're having. Great God in heaven. And all along, the enemy is stealing our identities. Oh, you can help me or not. I feel the Holy Ghost like a mighty rushing wind. God, it's about time we wake up like a holy church and we remember who we are. Oh, I said it's about time we wake up. Go ahead and cover your eyes. Go ahead and plug your ears. But when your boys are queer, don't get mad at the preacher. When your church goes worldly, don't get mad at the holiness people. I said you better remember who you are.
Some of you is closing your eyes to it already. And little by little, it's creeping in. I tell you what, I've been seeking God. I've been praying. I said, God, I don't care if everybody around me compromises. Help me hold on to what you gave me. Oh, God, don't ever let me forget what you told me. Why was the Apostle Paul able to write half the New Testament? Bobbing up and down in the sea like a cork. Fighting and wrestling with wild beasts. Living in dark dungeons. Because he never forgot the Damascus Road. He never forgot who he was. He never forgot who he was. I used to think I was doing the Lord's work. But then, after Damascus, after I got saved, now I know I truly am doing the Lord's work. I felt some of you draw back a little while ago. I know it's hard to look the truth in the eye sometimes. I don't even like to do it at times. It's hard. But the fact of the matter is, so long we have sit around thinking ain't nothing ever going to happen to us holding this, folks. Because we're the only ones that's going to make it. We're the cream of the crop. It's our way or the highway. I do believe that biblical holiness and what we preach and teach is the only way to make it to heaven. And I do believe, I don't care what denomination you are, if you really got a heart to serve God, I don't care if you got Baptists on your door, you will clean up from this world. You won't stay next to God and not clean up. I told him, I believe God saves Jezebel. But she ain't Jezebel no more after she gets saved. I believe God can save the prostitute and the drunk. But they won't be prostitutes and drunks no more. They won't act like them. They won't dress like them. They won't go to where they go to. There'll be a change. Yeah. That's why when the Lord healed him or saved him, he always told him to go your way and sin no more. At least that worst thing come upon you. Go, be different. When he delivered Legion, he had a life of dwelling in the tombs, running around naked and crazy. But when God spoke to him, When Jesus touched him, he sat right at his feet clothed and in his right mind. Some of you need to get that right mind back. You're struggling with it this morning. Oh, I know you was probably hoping I was going to get a hip pocket high. I'm sorry, this is all I got. Maybe Brother Noah can tickle your fancy tonight. I don't know. But I'm telling you this right now. Some of y'all don't quit thinking like you are. It wouldn't matter who's in here preaching. You're in trouble. You're in an identity crisis. You need to remember who you are. Blessed is my soul to see Jason back here. Jake to the home, folks. Devil tried to destroy that boy. Pushed him toward drugs and alcohol. Of course, I know you got to be willing to go there. I know that. He began to give his testimony. How about at nights? Devil would just talk to him and say, you just might as well end your life. You ain't going to be nothing anyway. You done destroyed yourself. You done wrecked it. Nobody wants you. You ain't going to accomplish nothing. Go ahead and swallow them pills and just end it all. Ain't nobody even going to miss you. But I'm glad one night, up on that couch, he heard an old familiar voice way back in the distance. Don't do it. I've got something for you. Don't do it. And that crisis began to take place. It came to the height to where something is going to have to change. Somebody's going to have to make a decision. And thank God Jake said, I believe I'll go back to my father's house. And I'm just going to ask him to let me be a servant. That's all I want to be. I just want to be a servant. I just want to be saved. Bless God. Come here, buddy. Come here. Bless God. He's here with us this morning. And I'm glad he's saved. I'm glad he's sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. But God's also called him to preach. God also gave him a young bride. I'm talking, the boy didn't have nothing. Brother Lloyd told y'all about it. Now the Lord's blessed him with a good job. They just bought him a new home. Hey, I know that I don't mean everything, but I'm just saying what God's done. I guarantee you, Jason's glad of the night when he remembered who he was. I'm not the prodigal. I'm not a slave to the far country, but I'm a king's kid. Oh, God, my father owns a mansion and cattle on a thousand hill. I'm glad I remembered who I am. Great God in heaven, you need to wake up and realize you're God's child. Aren't you glad? Huh? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? That Apostle Paul got to wrestling with this identity. I'm hurrying up here. He got to wrestling with this identity problem. He got to thinking about it. He got to looking at it, Brother Noah, and analyzing it. Oh, I'm about to get happy right here. He got to wondering about it all. He got to weighing it all out. When I was Saul, I was like this. But now I'm Paul. Yes, I've been persecuted. Yes, I've been in prison. Yes, I've had stripes laid upon my back. Oh, but look at the work God's allowed me to do. Look at all the churches He started. He just about came along and gave us every standard that we ever live in. No. Are you hearing me? He said, for our light afflictions.
Paul said, for my light afflictions that endure for but just a short time. He said, they work for me a more eternal weight of glory.
He just got happy. I believe he got happy. And said, Luke, give me some paper. I'm getting inspired right now. Luke handed him a piece of paper. Paul said, I'm going to write this letter to the Roman church. We're going to call it letter number 8. Thought number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Think about that, Luke. I know you're a little beat up there. Your back's still bleeding. But think about it, Luke. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Oh, I feel like preaching. Well, what can separate us, Luke? Help me out here.
Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Who can separate us, Luke?
Oh, he skipped down a few more verses and said, for I am persuaded. I don't know about you, Luke, but I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, or just keep on coming, nor death, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Oh, but I need to end it. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all in Jesus. Give Him the praise. It's all in Jesus. Give Him the praise.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them done. Take them all, boys, that I may win Christ. Everybody wants to win, don't they? How'd you like to win Christ? Ooh. He skipped on down a little further, told them Philippian church that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He laid his pen down a moment, looked back over at Luke. I'm just about done. Boy, I wish I had the lung capacity to preach. Look back at Luke. He's still pondering all of it. You know, you keep sitting there and thinking about how it used to be, you're never going to find out how it can be. I'm tired of preaching to our young people about how we used to have it. That's probably a lot of the problem why we don't have it now. Hello. Get rid of the negativity. Well, we used not to do it that way. Well, bless God, do it like that way again. We used to not go to places like that. Well, bless God, not go to them places like that again. No wonder these young people come, sit around like they ate a bunch of persimmon sandwiches, all tore up. They done heard a sermon of doom and gloom all the way to the church house. How in the world can you worship God over that mess when all you hear about is all the dead coals from all the fires that used to be built? Bless God, give me somebody that'll say, I don't care what you did respectively 20 years ago. Bless God, somebody build me a fire now. Oh, I wish we'd have a move of God. He wishes we'd let Him move too. Come on here now. I tell you what we've got. We've got a good dose of amnesia. We need to remember who in the world we are.
You know what I'd like to see today, Brother Lloyd? I'd like to see some mama, some daddy, some grandma, some camp administrator, some counselor, even a preacher that has that thought of, if we don't get back to where we used to be. Well, I'm glad for my heritage. I really am. But my heritage does me no good if I ain't doing it today. I'd like to see somebody get so stirred up even today. They say, bless God, forget about how I used to march. This is how I'm marching. Bless God, forget about how I used to worship. This is how I worship. Come on, young people. Come on. Come on. We need to get the brooms and the shovels out. Let's get the rubbish of the fires of yesterday cleaned out of here. Let's get the coal and the choking smoke out of the way. And let's begin to offer up a new fire. Let's begin to offer up a new praise. I'm not talking about some new charismatic. I'm talking about a whole lot of more of what we used to do. But in a brand new freshness, in a new anointing. Great God, you're about to kill me. I wish somebody would obey God.
Oh God. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm glad for the Damascus road, but if I'm going to make it to glory, I got to have a Damascus road every day. Don't ever, ever, God, don't ever let me forget. No wonder he penned down the words, lest having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. Don't ever let me forget who I am. There's some of you pondering it right now. You're looking at me. You're looking at me with that look. Okay, Brother Jerry, this is that time you're supposed to reach into your bag there and pull it on out of here. No. No. It's not happening today. It's not happening today. God's not going to help me. And God's not going to allow me to pull this one out today. No. God wants somebody to remember. God wants somebody to remember. God wants somebody to look back and take heed to that familiar voice and look at yourself and make a change and make a decision. I'm going to be a child of God. Huh? There should have already been people in this building worshiping. There should have been already people in this building on their knees before God saying, God, give me that mind back. God, don't ever let me forget. But there's such a pressure right here, right now. There's a pressure right here, right now. And there's that old familiar feeling that if I can just hold out a few more minutes, it's going to be over with and we can go back out and play. We can go back out and eat. And I'll put this decision off another day. But what if you're never given another opportunity to make it right with God? Holy Ghost dealt with people in this building last night. Personally dealt with them. Yes, there was a blanketing of His Spirit in this building last night. But the Holy Ghost specifically singled some people out last night and went to arrest them. And you closed your door to Him. And you're still sitting in this building right now saying, why, like the preacher preached last night, why am I even here? What am I doing? I don't know where I fit in. I don't feel like I fit in this mess. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to go? Some of you young boys are wondering about your futures. I want to warn you tonight, this afternoon. You're in an identity crisis. And if you don't resolve it right now, you're going to grow up into an adulthood and you're never, ever going to be settled. You're always going to be questioning yourself. You're always going to be questioning God. You're always going to be wondering, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Is this what God wants me? Am I supposed to be doing this? Am I supposed to be over there? That comes from a person that doesn't know who they are. You're the one that always runs to the pastor and say, help me pray, I want to go here. Help me pray, I need to do this. Well, I just don't quite understand that yet. I mean, what happened? What's going on? You're in an identity crisis. And you're not settled it yet in your heart. And you're going to spend the rest of your life not knowing who and what you are. And then you're going to get lost and go to hell. I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to help you. God's the only one that can give you direction in your life. Huh? You have no business running to this world for counsel. God is the only one that can give you direction. I say, come and get us a song. Those that's not standing, let's stand our feet, if you will. I know this is a little different. I understand that. there's some folks in this building. There's some young people in this building. You need to come to grips with who you are and what you are. And you need to quit listening to the voice of the enemy because he's trying to pull you out of the house of God. And when he pulls you out of the house of God, my friend, you may never make it back. But right now, while you're in the safety and the confines of his house, and you're surrounded by his Holy Ghost, won't you come to this altar and settle it once and for all in your heart that I'm going to serve God. Did you hear them scriptures? Through persecution, I'm going to serve God. Through trials and tribulations, I'm going to serve God. God forbid if the whole world turns its back on God and it almost just about looks like it is, I'm still going to stand for God because I know who I am. Would there be some young people that won't be backward and embarrassed and ashamed? They'll step forward and say, Brother Jerry, I'm facing crossroads right now. I need some direction in my life. Don't be ashamed. We all need direction. Come right here and join me at this altar. If you're in that shape today, come on. Don't be ashamed. I'll tell you how I got this message. I got this message because I was at a crossroad. And I said, God, help me here. Help me here, God. Remind me what I'm doing, where I'm at, what I'm supposed to be. Help me, God. Don't be ashamed of that crossroad, young people. You'll come to many of them in your life. Don't be ashamed of that. But the enemy's attacking your mind. I want you to step out right now. I want you to be boy and girl enough to step out. Say, Brother Jerry, I need some direction. I need God to help me remember who I am and why I'm living this way. I'm not trying to be mean here, young people. But there ought to be a whole lot more of you up here than what's here right now. You need to push that pride aside. Come on, boys. You need to push that pride and masculinity aside a moment. And you need to get up here and talk to God. Come on, it's not embarrassing to need direction from God. If we don't have direction for God, we're not going to make it. It's not wrong to need direction. We're humans. We can't do it ourselves. How about some of you mamas and daddies? When's the last time you talked to God and said, God, who am I? Direct me, God. Direct me, God.